Court wanted to have a discussion entitled
Having the Right Attitude.
Having the Right Attitude. Robert Shuler has a book out entitled Your Attitude Will Determine Your Altitude. I wonder what his attitude is right now, being he's had to take the Hour of Power television broadcast off the air. I wonder where his attitude is about that right now. The whole wealth and health and wealth and gospel and the whole metaphysical thing about you can control your destiny by your attitude, picking yourself up by your bootstraps, you can become anything you want to be. That whole thing is denying something very important, and that is the sovereignty of God. I'm not so sure that Joseph had a really good attitude when his brothers threw him down into a pit. I'm not so sure that the person who is going through a lot of trials and testings and tribulations always keeps a good attitude. David didn't always have a good attitude. We've talked about this before on this broadcast. That being said, there are examples in the Bible of people that seem to have a tremendous amount of faith in the midst of suffering and heartache and sorrow. We see the examples of Paul and Silas who were thrown into a dungeon. In the middle of the night hours, they were singing and praising God. And the angel came and shook the prison and shook them free from their bonds. We see Daniel in a lion's den, surrounded by these huge beasts, and he prayed, and God stopped the mouths of the lions. We see three Hebrew children. Meshach. What's the other guy's name, Mark?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast into a burning fiery furnace. But you know what? They had been given the gift of tremendous faith because they told the king, before he cast him in the fire, if it is God's will, he will deliver us. If not, so be it. Now, I'm paraphrasing. In other words, they were willing to accept any of the consequences, either death or God's salvation. And, of course, God, we see likened unto the Son of God, the fifth man in the fire with him. We see other examples of persons who had been given tremendous faith. If we go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, there's a list of all these people that seemed to have good attitudes. But it wasn't something they drummed up of themselves. It was something that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, gave them. When we feel like we have been maligned, when we have succumbed to sin, when we have succumbed to temptation and Satan would get an advantage over us and mock us and laugh at us and ridicule us for not only our stupidity but our sin, it can be a very, very discouraging time. But one of the things that is important is to realize that we are all born and conceived in sin in this world, and even when we falter and fail, the Bible gives us comfort that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, can we cleanse ourselves? No, we cannot. We of ourselves cannot do anything. And that includes keeping the right attitude. A lot of people that are into metaphysics, especially those in the Church of Scientology, Try Holmes is one of the people that has been done a lot of writing on this subject about creating your own reality through your thoughts. Now, there is, under the context of spirituality, a scripture in the Bible that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But it doesn't say, as a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. It says, out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is our heart right with God? Not is our mind right with the world and the man. The spirit warreth against the flesh. And we cannot please God if we're in the flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. You can't mix the two. Now, we know that Jesus Christ came to this world and died on the cross for his people, that we might have eternal life. Satan would like to come and discourage us and give us all the reasons and try to take away our joy in Christ and discourage us. One of the most discouraging things for the Christian is when they falter and fail. And Satan will get an advantage during those times. He's the great accuser of the brethren. But the comfort for the Christian is that in the midst of our failings and our falterings, that is why Christ came. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see all around us people who are not, do have no interest at all in spiritual things. And they're mocking God, they're mocking his word, and they're mocking Christians who they are quickest to see our own falterings and our failings. And when they're coming against us, that's when Satan will really try to get some leverage on us. But we can remind old Slewfoot that he is already doomed. His time is coming when he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So old Slewfoot's time is limited, and that's why he's working overtime. The Bible says he's the prince and the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. What are we talking about? We're talking about those who stumble at the word. We're talking about why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves against God and against all that he has proclaimed in his word. Attitude does not determine altitude. We have a good example given when some of these metaphysical people actually start believing they can fly. They actually believe, in fact, there's a song in the secular radio, "I Can Fly, I Can Fly." I haven't seen any human beings flying around lately. Have you? They walk off a 12-story building. They start flapping their arms. They're going to be flapping their arms until they hit the sidewalk down below. Even if they have an attitude, I can fly, I can fly, it's not going to determine their altitude. They're going to go crashing to the ground. But we have the Holy Spirit as God's people to comfort us in times of distress and heartache and failure and falterings and all of that. Even though we may not feel good, even though it seems like the whole world is coming against us, they're mocking at us, they're seeing our failures and our falterings. God says that He takes the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And so we must remind ourselves that all things work together for good for them to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean that all things are good. It means that all things work together for good. We may never this side of eternity see how certain things have worked to our good. I recently had an experience in my own life that because of situation that happened, that it's hard for me to see how that it can work to our good. But we have to rest in the Word of God. We have to realize that He loves us. He gave Himself for us. And in the midst of our sorrow and our pain and our suffering and our woes, I was talking to a gentleman recently and he said, you know, I just got to the point in my life where I just have to take one step in front of the other. And I have to say, can I make it through this day? He was going through a lot. And I know that the last week, or the last 2 weeks, has been a tremendous challenge for me because we're going through a lot. I'm not going to all the details, but I can tell you that when you're faced with a mountain that seems as impassable, we know that God made a way in the wilderness for the Israelites. They were driven down to the border of the Red Sea, and He opened the Red Sea, and they crossed on dry land. And when their adversaries came, Pharaoh and all of his military came in behind them, we know that God brought the Red Sea down on Pharaoh and his army and killed all of them. God is more powerful than Satan. And for the elect child of God, we have the assurance that underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. Sometimes it's hard to see, and it's hard for us to believe that God really cares about us. Think about how those people in Fox's Book of Martyrs must have felt when they were being stoned and drowned in the waters and heads chopped off and treated like less than human. But yet they still were faithful in proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before our Father which is in heaven. So on the subject of attitude, we have to look at it from a spiritual perspective rather than from just what's going on in our physical world. What we touch, our five senses are, well, many of us operate only off our five senses, our touch, our smell, our hearing, and we think, well, can I touch this? Can I smell this? Can I hear this? Can I taste this? Can I feel this? Well, one of the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, don't lean upon our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. You know, the Bible says that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and doing all, stand. And in Him we live and move and have our very being. You know, we don't often think about the fact that we are an heir to a heavenly kingdom. We have been adopted in the family of God. We've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And that when we're going through all of these things, we need to be reminded that we have eternal security. A lot of people don't like that term, eternal security. But we are secure in Him for eternity, for this world and for eternity. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That should give us a better attitude when we think on those things. Eternal life. Everlasting life. We are not going to have to be separated from our Heavenly Father when we die. We are going to be in paradise with Him. And it's going to be quite a different scenario than we have faced down here on this earth on a daily basis. So let us be encouraged when we see our attitude sinking, and we see that it's tough. You know, it's tough sometimes to go on, to take one more step. Seems like we're being closed in on by our adversaries and we cannot go any further. And it seems as though the world system would try to come against us, retaliate against us in all manner of ways. But we must realize that we are still accountable to God and to our neighbor, and that God will give us the strength to continue to proclaim His word in the midst of whatever we're going through. Father, we pray that You would take this brief message about attitude and use it for Your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.